VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Crosstalk, coming to you live from the RNC convention that's being held in downtown Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We are welcoming those of you listening by way of radio this afternoon. Also, a special word of welcome to those watching over WVCY television and to the many across the country at VCY.tv. During these few days from the RNC, we are simulcasting both on radio and television and streaming at VCY.tv. And again, friends, if you want non-interrupted coverage to the many speeches given throughout the course of the evening, be sure that you are tuning in and establishing your free account at vcy.tv. Well, Monday the convention focused on the theme Make America Wealthy Again, as it focused on the escalating inflation that is taking place in your pocketbooks across the nation. And then we had Make America Safe Again, and a number of speakers speaking yesterday on that issue. Several more speeches taking place this evening as they're focusing more on national security and foreign policy today. And during Crosstalk this week, we have the opportunity to interview delegates. We have the opportunity to interview just a number of people attending the RNC convention. And with us right now, we have Representative Adam Morgan. He represents the 20th District in the South Carolina House and serves both on the Education and Public Works Committee as well as the Legislative Oversight Committee. And Representative Morgan, so good to have you here.
It's good to be on with you.
So give us your perspective of what's transpiring at this convention right now. There seems to be a whole lot of vibrancy to the sessions in particular.
Yes, so I actually attended the 2016 convention as well. And while that convention went well and there was a lot of excitement, this one really seems to, on the floor, have the delegates very unified, very excited. And I think it's really positioning the party well going into November. There was division, especially at the beginning, with the platform issue. Yes, that definitely had, there was very clearly a number of delegates that were not happy with the changes to the platform. But I think with the assassination attempt, and especially through last night, a lot of the speakers that came, it was very unifying having Ron DeSantis there, even Nikki Haley. You had kind of a, it felt like the party was really coming together, and you could feel it on the ground.
Many speeches were actually changed as a result of that assassination attempt.
I'm sure, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
You serve in the South Carolina State Legislature, and you understand that what happens on a national level certainly impacts the states as well. What would you say are your greatest concerns as you look at the nation and how this is impacting you as a state?
Yeah, I think that in some ways it's going to be very helpful down ballot. That I think there's a lot of wind in the sails for Republicans because of Trump being on the ballot. And so in that way, I think it'll be fantastic for Republicans, really, and probably across the country. What concerns me is the change to the platform, as I already mentioned. Mm-hmm. What we absolutely do not want is legislators to start adopting the tactics of some here at the RNC convention and watering down the platform. Because, we can't cave on our core principles, because if we're going to cave on those, what's the point of even having a political party?
Exactly.
And so I don't actually foresee that. I think you will have some legislators who try to follow that tack. I don't think they'll be very successful, especially in conservative districts. My constituents really couldn't care less what, we hear, pass as a platform. They have their values and expectations for, how I should conduct myself in office, and they're going to expect me every time to protect life and defend life, from conception. And so, you just got to continue fighting the battles. I'm chair of the Freedom Caucus at the state level, so this is not new to me, having establishment forces that oppose my values and that we regularly have to work against and outmaneuver. And so I would just say, you're seeing it on a broader scale, party-wide, and conservatives, social conservatives, fiscal conservatives. We had a speaker come and basically lecture us and tell us that, we need to socialize our workforce, and couldn't disagree more. I understand, bringing in people, union workers and such like that to, expand the party. But at the same time, he was lecturing us on policy, and I had to laugh. I was like, well, thank you for your thoughts. Absolutely not. I think that it just is a reminder for people in the Republican Party, or even if you're, you know, more independently minded, whatever you might be, you know, you need to engage and be fighting for your values at your local and state level, and at the national level. And, you know, not just because somebody changes something and they have they win a battle doesn't mean they win the war.
So you believe those definitions are very important. I mean, right now we have some more as far as a platform or kind of a general policy, but it's the nuts and bolts of that policy that for the first time in several decades, we have not seen things really spelled out like we have in previous platforms for the RNC.
And I think it was intentional. I think a lot of people, I'm assuming it comes from a lot of political consultants who are looking at it saying, hey, you need to make these changes to, you know, have a broader appeal in a certain electorate. But you know, going back to, I'm reminded of the Reagan speech where he categorically rejected that. It's like, no, we don't need a watered-down, weak Republican Party that is basically Democrat light, so people can't really tell the difference, and maybe they'll just pick us because they can't tell the difference. It's like, no, we need bold, you know, clear colors, clear differences, stand strong on our principles. We know that our beliefs are rooted in truth. They're worth contending for. And so it just, you know, it excites me more to continue in the fight. Mm-hmm. And even forces in our own party are wanting to change, and, you know, we're going to continue being salt and light and providing truth there. And I don't think it's a setback, but I actually think that as I look around the party in South Carolina, we just had big wins. All of the Freedom Caucus members were challenged by establishment hacks, for lack of a better word, that were funded by special interest groups. Over $1 million spent in state house races to get rid of all the conservatives who were all the pro-life strong conservatives who were fighting on that issue. We, you know, got busy, door knocked, put a lot of effort into those state house races, and every single member won by double digits.
Wow.
Against that kind of money and influence. So that is the blueprint. Every state needs to have that. If you're in a state, you know, a lot of listeners probably are right here in Wisconsin. I'm not sure what the state of your Republican Party is here, but if you don't have a Freedom Caucus or a group of like-minded conservatives who are working to hold the party accountable to our core values and really contending for those values, you need to get busy and get started, because that's really where you make the difference.
You sit on the education committee in the state of South Carolina, and we know education is a big, big thing nationwide. What are some of the challenges that you see in this area of education?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's feeling it post-COVID. A lot of parents who thought that the public education system was just fine had their eyes open to what was actually being in the curriculum and what was being taught. And so there were a lot of issues brought to people's attention. And so the parental rights movement really came about then very strongly. And so we've seen a lot of states passing parental rights bills, even, you know, actual liberal states passing parental rights bills. I believe Washington State has now even passed a version of it. I think it's helped the school choice movement. As we all know, competition is good in every arena of life. And I think pushing programs and policies that allow the money to follow the student instead of funding, you know, large systems that are bloated and filled with bureaucratic waste, like a lot of the public school systems are, let the money follow the child, let schools compete over, you know, the student. And that seems to be moving in a lot of states. And last night, Governor DeSantis, in his time, mentioned that as a Republican Party, like, main issue we're fighting for is school choice and for parental rights. And so I think that we just need to continue fighting on that issue in all states.
And yet we see the pressure coming from the present administration to change things, even with Title IX, mm-hmm. and the impact that is having upon states, especially within the area of education, whereby we need to start, you know, redefining what the term sex means.
I mean,
Scripture lays it out, male and female, and even Jesus, when he was questioned on marriage in the New Testament, haven't you heard, you know, how God created them male and female? And yet, you know, it's like we have ears that are stopped up today. We're not hearing that.
Yeah.
And so what's being pushed through the education system is expanding that to mean gender identity and sexual orientation, and the identities are just endless as far as what's coming up.
But it's ludicrous.
And it's picking, I mean, this is impacting young people all across this country.
Yeah. I actually do think, you know, there's that old saying, if your enemy's making a mistake, you know, get out of the way and let them keep making it. And I do think the excesses of that movement, that wing, the radical left wing part of the Democratic Party is actually leading to a lot of the energy and synergy that there is from even independents and moderates to wake up and realize, wow, these guys on the right, they've been right the whole time. Like, we actually do need to be concerned for our children. They are trying to indoctrinate them. They are trying to teach them, you know, to make terrible decisions medically, to, you know, change their gender and things like this, that they'll have serious effects for their entire life. And so you see other countries, European nations are waking up this, banning these procedures, banning this kind of instruction for minors. And a lot of states are now doing it too. So I'm actually, once again, very, very hopeful on that front. I think you're seeing a nationwide movement to reject and repudiate the left-wing ideologies on that issue. So I say, let them keep talking about it, because I think it's only going to help us expose the reality. I mean, that this is not something new. It's not just like they got here one day and they just came up with it. This is rooted in their ideology, you know, that you don't, you know, you can't teach somebody that there's only two genders, because that's, you know, somehow discriminatory or negative in some way. And it's like, no, it's truth, and it's actually what's helpful. It's what's most helpful for the, you know, the child to learn and understand their role and be able to grow in a healthy way. And so I think, once again, the battle of the ideologies, it helps us when they push those radical policies.
We're speaking today with Representative Adam Morgan, who represents the 20th District in the South Carolina House. We're talking about this, you know, the Title IX related issues. And when you take a look now at the platform, which we were talking about earlier, as it relates to this issue, are you satisfied for what it says in the area of education? And gender in particular.
Yeah, really, with most of the platform, I would have wanted more. I'm chair of the Freedom Caucus. I'm one of the most conservative members in South Carolina and a staunch conservative, so I'm going to always want to push it to the right to get the strongest language possible. So there were a lot of places where I saw room for improvement, and have let the members of the platform committee know that. And we'll be looking forward to making changes the next platform. I think conservatives need to be more organized next time, because really the platform, if you have the people on the committee, like, they're the ones that vote for it. And so it's time for social conservatives to get serious and who gets elected to those from the states.
And yet we saw a movement even within that platform committee from not really allowing a vote. It was like they were to rubber stamp what had already been prepared. And I spoke recently with Chad Connolly as well, who was booted from that committee. Who has strong conservative views in a number of areas, and Tony Perkins too, who from Family Research Council, indicating that in essence, here they come in, and what normally they plan for several hours, you know, what was it, 40, 45 minutes, and here we are to, you know, rubber stamp what they've done. No amendments allowed. How do you debate and approve something when you can't do that?
I'm smirking, because welcome to politics. Like, that's been my life in politics. That's the way Congress works. It's the way your state legislature works. It's the way your county council works. It's the establishment forces have something in plan. They set the plan ahead of time. They get the language. They don't share it with everybody. They wait till the last second to give the document, so you're reading it on the fly. They have set speakers to kind of, you know, give this show, and then they move it to a vote as fast as possible. Limited transparency, limited debate, steamroll it through. And even they kind of construct a culture where if you are one that questions, they will try to shame you and ostracize you. So my understanding was, in the platform committee, they actually had people walking around. They took their cell phones, but then they walked around filming everyone just how they were voting. It's like, right. And that's the same kind of stuff I experienced in a Republican caucus in South Carolina, the same kind of issues. So we need to be fighting against that. We need a robust debate in our political space. That's what happens in a healthy republic. So I would encourage everybody, whether it's your state legislature, you're in Congress, whether it's the platform, to push that.
We're up against a quick break here. Representative Adam Morgan is with us from the South Carolina House. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America from the GOP convention.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in an evolutionary sense, what do the terms advanced and primitive mean?
Chris, primitive animals are thought to be those that evolved long ago, which gave rise to more and more advanced types. Single-cell organisms are the most primitive, and then marine invertebrates, and up to fish, amphibians, mammals, and eventually man, the most advanced of all. Within each mammal type, evolutionists say that the more advanced ones are the ones that are modern. But extinct varieties were hardly primitive. Chris, the whole concept of primitive advances an evolutionary idea which is wrong on the face of it. Evolution did not happen. God created each basic category, much as we see it today. None is more advanced than the other. Each is complex. And that's the way I see it from a back to Genesis perspective.
Visit our website at icr.org. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Crosstalk from the VCY American Network in Milwaukee. Again, a special welcome to those of you watching us over WVCY Channel 30, VCY.tv, and of course our listeners here to Crosstalk over the VCY American Network as well. We are broadcasting from Media Row at the UW Panther Arena, part of the RNC complex. The main session's taking place just a couple buildings down at the Fiserv Forum, and those events will be getting underway again this evening. By the way, just a reminder, so much of the country missed many of the speeches last night because either they were not being broadcast or talking heads would be talking about other things other than hearing from the individuals up at the dais. And so we give you opportunity to see that uninterrupted coverage, getting the vast majority of speakers at VCY.tv. If you don't have an account, just sign up. It is ad-free and subscription-free. You pay nothing for it, but the certainly all the benefits of it are there for you. Find it out at VCY.tv, and you can even go back to last night and watch the prior coverage that was given there as well. We're talking right now with Representative Adam Morgan. He represents the 20th District in the state of South Carolina and has been there for one term now.
Actually, three terms.
Yeah. Three terms serving in South Carolina, and certainly concerned about the direction things are happening here, not only in the state of South Carolina, but to the country as a whole. Mm-hmm. He heads the Freedom Caucus in the state of South Carolina. And you were telling me something here just in the break that I thought our listeners need to know what's going on here, and it relates to the exposure of votes of the members of your mm-hmm. state house. Tell us what's going on.
It's actually getting common. It's a play that's happening in a lot of legislatures where the establishment does not want on-the-record votes, because if you have to take hard votes, then you might have some constituent get mad at you, you might have a harder election. And so in the federal level, the way they've dealt with this in a lot of states is they just create agencies and they delegate all the tough decisions to them so they don't have to vote on a lot of legislation. That's what happened with the Chevron decision, you know, kind of rolling that back where, well, all the states have done that too. Our big point in as a Freedom Caucus, we try to actually cut government. We try to cut spending. We try to make bills better. And so a lot of times we'll put amendments on to make them better, take a bill that's pushed by lobbyists. It's, you know, we're in South Carolina, a ruby red state, should be conservative. And they actually tried to change it so that we could no longer amend legislation as legislators. They tried to pass rules that would say that only leadership would pick amendments that could ever be amended to legislation, which is insane to think that a member could not actually amend legislation. You couldn't legislate as a legislator. Then they tried to change the rules that you couldn't share pictures of the public voting board with constituents, because the argument was you're making other members look bad for how they're voting. And it's like, well, it's the public voting board. I mean, how, exactly. People should know how their members are voting. Right. And they said, okay, well, listen, sign this pledge that you'll never do this again, or else you can't be a member of the Republican caucus. Like, what? Are you kidding? I'm an elected Republican member. What do you mean I can't be a member of the Republican caucus? And they said, yeah, well, these are our new rules. Sign them or you're out. They kicked 17 members in South Carolina out of the Republican caucus for refusing to sign that. And the worst part of the story, in that closed-door meeting when we were arguing why are we doing this, one of my members said, well, what if somebody does something illegal or immoral? You can't call them out. You can't campaign against them. You can't, you know, say something. And they said, no, you can't do anything, whether it's taking a picture. You can't say anything that might make somebody else look bad that's a member, even if they do something illegal. And he said, well, I can't do that. That's insane. And so we were kicked out. I kid you not, within 2 months, one of the lead members in the Republican conference, who was one of the architects of this loyalty pledge, was busted for a pay-to-play scheme where he was abusing his committee chairmanship, telling lobbyists, give me money to my campaign and I'll let bills that you want out of my committee. And they didn't remove him from leadership. There's an indictment coming for him that they're looking to actually, you know, the law come against him. But no Republicans called him out. They didn't remove him from leadership. The only people that did were the ones who they kicked out of caucus. And that's the kind of corruption that you're dealing with establishment forces. And it's really both parties. Mm-hmm. But you have this. My argument and my belief is the core issue in American politics today is special interest influence over elected officials, whether it is your local level, your county council, city council, whether it's your state and federal. And you have these people who donate campaign money, and they literally control members' votes. Mm-hmm. And the members don't think about their constituents. They just think about, oh, what does this special interest want? And that's how you get such bloated, wasteful legislation and budgets that no one's happy with. The only people that are happy with are the members of Congress and the members of the legislature, because they get the money in campaign contributions. So until the American public wakes up to that, or until elected officials expose it and start changing it, we will not have better governance. We're moving in the right direction in South Carolina.
Is there not backlash from the public on this issue?
There was massive. Yeah. So because we actually stood up and fought, and exposed all of this, I mean, it got national media attention. A lot of people started hounding their fellow members, the Republican caucus that kicked us out. Well, the assistant majority leader in South Carolina, who is a former Democrat, ran John Kerry's campaign back in the day, and then changed parties and was the Republican assistant majority leader. He got a challenger who ran a strong campaign, and we ousted the assistant majority leader just this past cycle and put in a strong conservative who's going to be a Freedom Caucus member. And it was those issues that were the deciding factor in that race. It also defeated other people in Republican leadership. And so that it was all related, though, to you have to have elected officials who will stand up for what's right, mm-hmm. who will call out when they're making changes, who will push. Because what's going to happen, I can perfectly predict what's going to happen in every state legislature. You're going to have, for Republicans, they're going to come up and they're going to have the chance, should we defund Planned Parenthood in the budget? And now the ones who've always been against that are going to say, whoa, that's not in the Republican Party platform. So the Republican position is to not push that anymore. We just focus on late-term abortions. And then the pro-life ones are going to say, no, of course, they said it's a state issue. No, it's not in the Republican Party platform. And so you're going to have this massive fight at the state level in every state to do the basic things that we've always pushed for and we've always supported. And so you have to make sure you've elected people who will say, no, we are going to defund Planned Parenthood, or at least I'm going to put it on the record. I'm going to amend the legislation and make you vote on it, and I'm going to share that vote with the public. And so if you're going to run as Republican, you'll be exposed whether you're pro-life or not. And unfortunately, you're going to find that a lot of your current elected officials will not have that backbone. And you're going to see state after state go by the wayside of only restricting late-term abortions. They won't be passing heartbeat bills. They won't be pushing, if they haven't already, they won't be pushing to defund Planned Parenthood. So it comes back to an informed electorate who is willing to continue making that an issue.
Now, you mentioned 17 that were booted.
Yeah.
Out of how many?
In the Republican Congress, I believe it's 80, I believe.
So a significant percentage.
Oh, yeah. Yes, so a large percentage were ousted. And I do believe they're going to bring them back in now. The leadership, I would argue the crony leadership that is there right now, the speaker is selected in South Carolina, even though we're a majority Republican. The Democrats and the moderate Republicans pick the speaker. It's all the Democrats and then the moderates, and then the conservatives have kind of who they want. And for years, that was just the way things were done. Well, now it's to a point where I think the speaker has really put himself in a bad position where he's going to have a race for speaker. And even if he wins, I think he's going to have to really change his behavior. He won't be there for very long.
State Representative Adam Morgan is with us, representing the 20th district in the South Carolina House, and serves on a couple of committees there, but heads the Freedom Caucus, and certainly making a major impact. And Adam, what I'm gathering, you're not silent when it comes to being on the floor. Everybody knows where Adam Morgan stands, and really the population should know where that is. Your constituents, and I know not long ago we played a clip that went viral of yourself in which you advocated that you were going to stand up for what your constituents, their position on an issue, rather than tote the party line.
Yeah.
And the argument was made, well, are you saying they know more about this than what we do? I mean, that's the arrogance that they're coming across.
Yeah, the exact phrase was, so I had just said, I'm not going to vote for this $1.3 billion handout to an electric vehicle manufacturer in a Republican-controlled state. Like, that's an absolute waste of our money when our roads are in a bad condition. My constituents don't want this. Mm-hmm. And the Democrat majority leader said, so Mr. Morgan, you're telling us that we should listen to the folks back home over the experts in the Commerce Department who think this is a good idea? And I was like, yes, you should listen to the people you represent. You're right. A representative in this chamber. But that, I'm telling you, that is the core issue. And one other thing that you see this battle in the Republican Party, it's been going on for a long time. But independents and moderates, when they actually hear us talk about transparency, about good governance, about asking tough questions about wasteful spending, about parental rights, there's so much that we actually agree on. But for so long, we've had people in elected office in the Republican Party who are Chamber of Commerce Republicans, who their version of Republicanism is, oh, I'll give tacit, you know, nod to social issues, but my main goal there is to quote unquote create jobs, the government to create jobs and give tax subsidies and to give subsidies to private corporations. And the reality is the public does not want that. They don't like it. They know that it's a waste of money. And it literally just lets Republicans go say, oh, I created jobs. Well, government doesn't create jobs. And so until we really make that transition, we become the advocates for actual limited government, for actual low taxes, for actual freedoms. That's what will win elections. It's doubling down on our core values.
Seems to me, I heard the song some time ago, your walk talks and your talk talks.
Yeah, yeah.
Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. By the way, Adam Morgan, also with Majesty Music, but representing a representative in the South Carolina legislature. And really, that's what goes on. And there's that, what I call the Nancy Pelosi mentality out there. Let's pass it, and then we'll find out what's in it.
Exactly.
And that's what you're communicating.
And that's
here.
Everywhere. That's what I find so funny. People are like, can you believe Pelosi said that? That exposes the Democrats. I'm like, guys, that is government. That is the school board. That is your county council. That's the state legislature. Most legislators do not read the bills that they have in front of them. Leadership tells them, here's what we're going to do. Everybody needs to vote for it and be on board. And whichever party's in control, that's what they do. And really, it's the opposition parties that actually spend a little bit of time looking into it because they're trying to show the contrast. And those days have got to be over. We're all looking around going, what's wrong with our republic? How are we in a place where all of these Republican states spent all this money on DEI, indoctrinating our kids and turning our college students against us, these radicalizing them? How did we get to a place where we're spending billions of dollars in handouts to corporations? That's not a Republican Party. We're supposed to be the ones that are against socialism in the private sector. And you got there because people were not paying attention to what their elected officials are doing. And so until we actually elect better quality people, whether it's the RNC convention, whether it's your legislature, whether it's Congress, that's what will actually change this country and keep and save our republic.
And this is why there have been so many who have developed the term uniparty.
Yeah, yes,
because
it's real.
The same thing.
And I was never. In fact, I kind of can't stand conspiracy theories. When I hear them, I like bristle and I'm like, I don't even want to. But I heard that term and I didn't used to like it.
Yeah.
Until I lived it and I discovered, oh, the uniparty is alive and well. There's almost no difference between moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats. They are both the Chamber of Commerce types. They literally are in office to do whatever the special interests want them to do, and then pay lip service to whatever their party platform is. And, those days have got to be over. We have a nation in decline. We all know it. We see major issues. We've got our enemies abroad emboldened, our economy slipping. And until we get back to those core values, the things that actually built the nation to be what it is, and until we bring those back at a state and a federal level, we're not going to get back to where we need to be.
State Representative Adam Morgan with us. We so appreciate you being here and communicating with us here today. Some very important truths. And just a quick final word for those who wonder, should I even be involved? It seems like it's more of the same thing.
Please be involved. As I mentioned, that's been the problem, is people just assume, oh, it's taken care of. I elected a Republican, it must be, or Democrats. I elected a Democrat, it must be fine. Well, it's not. Pay attention. Advocate for your values.
Representative Morgan, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Adam Morgan with us here today from the South Carolina Legislature. Back with more Crosstalk in 1 minute, broadcasting live from the RNC Convention and part of Media Row at the UW Panther Arena. Back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
As we strive to be like Christ, there are besetting sins which take us off course. Sinful anger is one of them. Anger is a willful and deliberate choice, and is often caused by not being able to attain our prideful or selfish goals. If not dealt with, anger will turn into something worse. Another besetting sin is that of anxiety and fear. Ungodly anxiety goes beyond reasonable concern and involves worry about mere possibilities. And then there's the ungodly fear. Fear that often paralyzes and causes us to focus on our circumstances rather than on God and His promises. There is hope. In the booklet, Anger, Anxiety, and Fear, author Stuart Scott provides a biblical perspective on these issues, providing the path to victory. Anger, Anxiety, and Fear. Available for a donation of $7 or three copies for $18. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. We're based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is hosting its first RNC convention. And as a result, just being not too many blocks away from our studios, have been able to originate Crosstalk and programming coming right here from the RNC. And so delighted to have you with us. By the way, just a reminder that we've got a lot of coverage that takes place. You'll hear a lot of speakers that you will not get from any other source, but you will find them at vcy.tv. Sign up for your free account, ad-free, subscription-free, at vcy.tv. We're broadcasting Crosstalk live over WVCY television, vcy.tv, and then also that of course, VCY America Radio as well. Well, there's been certainly a lot of talk going on, a lot of electricity in the air right now from the RNC as it relates to the various speakers that will be happening. Day number one, dealing with Make America Wealthy Again, and brought in a number of speakers as it pertains to how devastating the economy has been. And one of the features of the convention has been common, ordinary people that they bring up to the platform and speak to the delegates that are here. You've heard from moms and from those who are struggling within the economy here today. Also, day number two was dealing with this topic of Make America Safe Again, and heard from a wide array of guests last evening that were speaking and talking about the issue. A lot of matters pertaining to the lax border control, even if you want to use the word control and border at the same time, because it has been very, very fluid as to what is happening right now at our southern border in particular. And again, last night, the tragic story of some of the relatives of those who have lost their life as a result of the lax border control and those who have been in the country illegally, and certainly some very troubling matters taking place there. Today's emphasis more that of our certainly our international relations matters that are going on there, and our public policy related issues across the country as well, national security and foreign policy. And we see a world right now that is running amok. I mean, we have the matters that taking place in the Middle East right now, the war against Israel that was launched on October 7th, and of course the Hamas and Hezbollah. It's just a powder keg in the Middle East right now. Here we have the United States funneling money to Iran and to rogue nations who are then in turn using that money for our own demise and the demise of Jewish people. We are seeing China flex its muscles right now as well, and furthering their reach and through their naval facilities, as well as establishing land that they're declaring to be their own. We see that encroachment that is taking place. We are also seeing, of course, the matter between Russia and Ukraine. They've been going on for years now, and no end in sight for some of these matters that are unfolding. So there is a lot that's taking place, but domestically as well, we've got matters that are unfolding. We have seen just recently in the state of California, Governor Newsom just signed into law this past Monday legislation that forbids schools from sharing with parents the gender identity of their son or daughter coming through the classroom. They are keeping that private. And there are some school districts that said, that, no, it's our policy to be honest and truthful with parents. Governor Newsom signed into law, no, you can no longer do that. Well, shocking news that came forth, and this from CBN that came forth, and that is that Elon Musk is now going to flee the state of California. He is moving SpaceX out of the state, as well as X, formerly known as Twitter, moving this out from California now, and he's heading to Texas. He said, we can't stand this. This is an anti-parent law that has just gone too far. And he said this is the final straw because of this law and the many others that preceded it, attacking both families and companies. SpaceX will now move its headquarters from Hawthorne, California to Starbase, Texas. He said, I did make it clear to Governor Newsom about a year ago that laws of this nature would force families and companies to leave California to protect their children. It makes me wonder how many others are going to be fleeing California, and how many have already fled from states like Washington and Oregon as a result of the very liberal policies that are being put forth. And so this is taking place. Meanwhile, there is great controversy taking place within the Democratic Party as it relates to who their nominee is going to be. That debate has been going on since the debate, the presidential debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. We saw that unfolded. And since then, there have been Democratic members who have been calling, hey, we need a new candidate. And the latest candidate now to do that, or the latest legislator, is Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff now coming forth and saying that we need to change the direction here for our party. We need somebody new and fresh. Thank you, President Biden, for the time that you have had, but it's time for us to move in another direction. And so we're getting that aspect taking place as well. We also see that there are conference calls. Matter of fact, the story came here from the Washington Examiner today. Adam Schiff joins calls for Biden to suspend his 2024 bid. He said the stakes are just too high. He is calling for the suspension of this reelection campaign. Growing concerns are happening within the Democratic Party right now. There is a unification that's happening right now within the Republican Party that it's not seen for quite some time. Representative Morgan was just talking about that just a bit ago as to what is transpiring here at the convention, especially since the attempted assassination this past weekend. There's a glue that is adhering tighter than what has been seen for some time in the RNC. But there's great division that's occurring in the DNC at this time. Adam Schiff said this. He said, our nation is at a crossroads. A second Trump presidency will undermine the very foundation of our democracy. And I have serious concern about whether the president can defeat Donald Trump in November, he said. And as a result, he has added that the choice to withdraw from the campaign is President Biden's alone. But he said he believes it's time for Biden to pass the torch and secure his legacy of leadership by allowing another Democrat to step forward and to beat Trump. So there is a lot of controversy that is taking place within the Democratic Party right now as it relates to their nominee. Well, we're pleased to have in our set right now Terry Schilling, president of American Principles Project, that finds the family as the most important American institution, and therefore they engaged in campaign as an advocate of the family. He has previously worked for several pro-family political leaders, including Senator Sam Brownback and Representative Chris Smith. And Terry, nice to have you here in our broadcast booth.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Your website intimates that to save the nation, we have to save the family. What attacks do you see are coming from the family?
Oh my gosh, the attacks against the American family are so strong and across the entire spectrum that people aren't even wanting to get married anymore. The age of first marriage in this country is at the highest point it's ever been. It's around 30 years old for men. It's around 31 years old for women. We've never had it that high before. And then you look at the birth rates, those are below replacement levels, which means essentially that we're going extinct. We've got to reverse the tide. But even on top of all of that, there's a real attack on the innocence of our children. And I think that's what keeps me up at night, is that America used to be a really great place to raise kids. You could let your kids run out in the playgrounds and in your neighborhood, ride their bikes, and have some relative freedom and grow some independence. But now you really can't trust even your schools to protect the innocence of your children. And so I would say that, you know, attacking marriage, attacking family formation, and then attacking the innocence of children, those are the top three areas where family is most under attack.
And just before you arrived, I was talking about the legislation that was just signed this past Monday by Governor Gavin Newsom that forbids a school from communicating with parents with, you know, about their child's transitioning. They're claiming a different gender identity within the school system, and actually forbidding a school to be truthful with parents.
You know, any normal person, if you were to ask them, should anyone under 18 be able to get a sex change procedure or some type of genital mutilation procedure that could sterilize them, they would say no, that should be banned. Kids aren't old enough. The idea that we're going to allow this to happen without parents even knowing about it, without parents having the right to object, without having parents have the right to protect their children from it is absolutely insane. We're trusting children to make lifelong decisions like this. I don't trust my children to choose the meals that they're eating, right? Because I know that they would eat candy and ice cream. Mm-hmm. Children can't make decisions. They need formation. They need their parents to help form them. And the idea that the state of California is eliminating parents from the ability to form their children and protect them, and instead of putting the state in there, that says something very dark. It's not American. It's something totally different than America.
Yeah, and we also have this aspect of we children, you cannot trust your parents. You can trust us. You can confide in us. We cannot tell your parents, though. They're the bad guy. We're the good guy.
That's the creepiest thing for me, right? I've been very good with my kids and very clear with them. Anyone that tells you to keep a secret from us, those are bad people. Because your parents, no one loves you. No one loves you more. No one knows you better. No one has your interests at heart, best interests at heart, better than your parents, right? We have put so much work and investment, right? We love our children. We've forgotten what love is in this country. Love is the willingness to sacrifice for the best situation for others. And we have redefined what love is to be love is love, which is to say love is nothing. If not, it's totally terrible, but we have to fight this back. Otherwise, we're only going to lose our country. We'll lose the entire human race.
I know another area of concern that you have is you're concerned about the online assault of children as well. Share your concern.
So, 1997, Congress passes what's called the Communications Decency Act, and it was basically meant to protect children from online from obscenity online. And it required age verification. It limited what websites could post. That the Supreme Court struck that down. They struck down all of the protections for children. What we have seen since 1997 is a rapid expansion in the internet entirely, but most especially in online obscenity. So the internet, there is more pornography on the internet than ever before, and our kids have never had more access to the most violent and terrible things ever. And now what's happening is the states do, I think in small part to our help and leadership on this, are now passing age verification laws, which require adult websites to verify the age of the people viewing their website before providing adult content. It's very common sense. We force the brick and mortar adult content stores to do this. We need to do this online. Online gambling, online tobacco, online alcohol sales, they all verify your age online, except for the adult websites. So we need to get those on board. And we are up to 19 states now, which I'm very proud of, and hopefully we can get this done nationally with President Trump in office.
As it relates to the November 5th election, how critical do you see this election as it relates to promoting the family, the family values as well, the concerns that your organization represents?
What I really loved about the updated and streamlined platform is that protecting girls' sports, protecting kids from these gender procedures, protecting parental rights and education, these things were all forefront and center. We finally have a president who really understands how important it is to protect our children, that he's making it a top priority in the Republican Party platform. And so I'm so impressed and proud of President Trump. He's going to do the job. This issue of protecting girls' sports and protecting kids from these gender procedures, they weren't going anywhere until President Trump went on offense with them. And they exploded. We had, I think, 5 or 6 states before he really started talking about it. Now we're up to 24 states that are protecting kids from this stuff.
We are up against a break. For those who'd like to learn more about your organization, your website.
It's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org, and my social media handle is Schilling1776.
Terry, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Terry Schilling from the American Principles Project, back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. Well, election season is right around the corner, and it's a presidential election. So you know what that means, right? There must be a plandemic in the making. Well, In 2019, there was what was called Event 201. That was in October of 2019, planning for a coronavirus outbreak. And then it happened. Guess what? October 2nd through the 3rd in Washington, D.C., well, they're holding the International Bird Flu Summit. And among their topics, number one, session and breakout session number one, mass fatality management planning. Really? I did not know this until today. There was a 2006 movie about this that killed millions and millions and millions. And one of the governors dealing with it was a governor named Newsom. You can't make this up. Is this psychological projection? I'm Brandon House.
Listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network, and also joined today by our viewers, WVCY Television and also VCY.TV. Again, friends, we're broadcasting live from the RNC Convention, which is located this year in our home city of Milwaukee, and broadcasting from the UW Panther Arena, the media row, and just a stone's throw away from the Fiserv Forum where the main sessions are being held, and we will be broadcasting those sessions later this evening as well. We're talking with Terry Schilling, president of American Principles Project, and they find that the family is the most important American institution, and therefore that's what they advocate for. They engage public policy and other aspects to promote the family, and the assault on children that is taking place online and actually through the education system, it's taking place as well. And boys and girls get confused at early ages as to even what their gender is here, Terry, because they are told from preschool on up that can be fluid and it can change from one gender to the other.
Yeah, and it's actually more nefarious than that. Not only are they confusing them, I mean, we have to keep in mind that these kids still believe in the Easter Bunny, but the reality is that it's much more nefarious in that they will actually start putting kids through counseling, through therapy, before they even get the parents involved, because these blue states have said that this is a life and death situation. When the Democrats and when politicians start to claim that the gender-affirming care, it's anything but gender-affirming, by the way, but when they say that this stuff is life-saving care, what they're actually saying is that they can do it without parents knowing about it. That is the loophole that they're pushing, and that's why they're saying it. They will start to get kids indoctrinated even further down this road, and then they'll bring the parents in before it's too late, or after it's too late in many situations. And so it's much more nefarious than what anyone realizes.
Okay, well, friends, you're listening to Crosstalk, and again, thank you, Terry, for being with us today. The website is AmericanPrinciplesProject.org, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org, and get more information there. We're now being joined by Terry Dietrich, a chairman of the Waukesha County Republican Party, and we're going to need to put these on for our radio listeners as well. And sorry about the extra noise there, but friends, the live program here from the GOP convention. Terry, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm guessing you're energized by what you're seeing here at the convention.
Tremendous energy, incredible. Mm-hmm. It's just been building every day, so people are really, really excited out there.
You have something that is called the WISP Red Initiative. Tell us about it.
Right. Yeah, it's a county party initiative. It started in 2021 by the Republican Party of Waukesha County. We nicknamed it or tagged it as the WIS Red program, thinking it would ultimately go statewide, and it might. But it's a county local elections initiative to take back the majorities for conservatives in our county and obviously across the state of Wisconsin. So we started in 21, have consecutively won spring elections to the total now, after 4 years, of 511 races, one out of 570 races total. A percentage, winning percentage, win rate of about 89%, which we've never seen in any other county in Wisconsin and maybe not in America. So it's been a tremendous success. And we have now taken the majorities of all of the municipal boards in the county, as well as all but one of the school boards. So we're in majority control. and it's been a great turnaround. So we're very proud of it.
We're talking right now with Terry Dietrich, who is chairman of the Waukesha County Republican Party, located not too far from the media row here at the UW Panther Arena. Let's talk about those local races. How important are these races? I know we're talking school board seats. We're talking aldermen. We're talking even about county supervisors. Many people think that all the problems are solved in Washington, D.C.
Right. You know, it's interesting. Senator Ron Johnson, we have great regard for. I made a statement three, 4 years ago, and he said, you know what? We need to win from the bottom up or trickle up. Mm. And so this whole notion of digging in at the local level, winning these races, developing and keeping majorities at the school board level and even judicial and municipal level is so important to our democracy, so that folks at the local level see that they're represented properly by conservative values. Things like keeping a lot of bad stuff out of schools, balanced budgets, lower taxes, all of the conservative principles that we have, that starts at the local level. And that's why we're focused with this. And what's been interesting about it is that, number one, since 21, the overall turnout in our county for both spring races, the spring local races, and then on to the fall races, the primaries and the generals, has increased. We've increased the voter turnout in Waukesha County among Republicans from a meager 17 to 20% back in 2021. We're over 45% in the county now. That bodes well now, for instance, going into this fall election for candidate Hovde and President Trump. Blowing up that turnout is absolutely critical for us winning, and Waukesha County being the biggest red county that we have to win big is really a testament to WIS Red and the fact that we've been able to get the voters trained or acclimated to voting, more importantly, for all elections, not just one.
And I think that's a key initiative, and we're less than 2 minutes here, but you talk about the training, and you're more about just talking, saying, hey, we need to have more people run for these levels of government. You're actually doing the training process to school people. How do we do this?
Right. You know, this is a scalable model, and that's what was really important to us, because individual candidates trying to run on their own, just deciding to run for school board and municipal board, it's tough. It's a lot of organization, not too much money. But in a short sprint like we have in Wisconsin, which is basically filing deadline for a candidate is usually the first week in January, and the race itself, the final election is in April with a February primary, there's not a lot of time. So in order to get 100-150 candidates, which we've been able to scale up for, we need those economies of scale to be able to spread cost, be able to deal with literally selling the team. That's our marketing program in the county, and it's worked great for us. So we can scale up to very large numbers, high numbers, without massive expenditures and individualized candidates, which then there's not much of an identity for them. So the WIS Red initiative, local election initiative by the county party, has allowed all of these candidates over the last 4 years, 500 plus candidates, to be underneath a conservative name tag and image, which has really helped our turnout.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by. For those who said, hey, I'd like to learn more about this, how can they do that? You've got a website.
Absolutely. www.waukeshagop.org. And you'll see right on that website a big, bold emblem, WIS Red Local Initiative. Click on that and you'll get all the information you need. Or stop in our headquarters out in Waukesha.
WaukeshaGOP.org. Thank you so much for being with us, Terry.
Absolutely. Thanks. Great to be here.
And friends, we appreciate you joining us here today on Crosstalk, not only broadcasting here on radio, but also WVCY television and the VCY, VCY.TV. You'll find us, and coverage continuing today from the Republican National Convention. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us here on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.